All right. Happy Halloween special. Welcome to the Today Show. My name is James Lee.
And I'm Tyler Robinson.
So we have an amazing show for you guys today. Obviously, we are in character. I knew the Today Show just couldn't go on without James Lee, obviously. So here I am. And I would just like to do my famous... I feel like I'm pretty good, right?
No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
And I surprised you. You didn't know what
it was
going
to be. No, it was crazy. You showed up and I'm like, because you're like, you have to film your reaction.
Yes.
I said, well, why? And you're like, you just have to do it. You just have to do it. And I was shocked.
Well, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay, I have to film your reaction. And we had talked about we were going to do a Halloween episode. And I had said like, oh, maybe I'll be Erica Kirk or like Sydney Sweeney. So I'm thinking, oh my God, he thinks I'm probably like so self-absorbed that I'm like, I want your reaction to me in a blonde wig. But really it was because I was dressing as you. And, you know, I wanted to see, of course, your reaction to it. And I think you were pretty shocked.
I was very shocked. In a good way.
Yes. And you have really pulled out all the stops for Tyler Robinson.
Can I show you what's in my backpack?
Please. I would love to see.
All right. Here we go. This is my black backpack here.
Not the blue that he was wearing earlier in the street. That's important to differentiate.
This is my black backpack here. So what do I have in here? So I have a couple of things. So I have this black towel. See, you see this? I don't know if people can see this. This is a black towel. And I have this, you know, the Mauser 98, you know, that fits in my backpack. Okay, this thing fits
oh
in a backpack.
God.
Just letting people know. And, you know, this is how I was able to get around campus with a,
of course,
with a massive gun, because it shrinks down in the backpack with a couple of tools, of course.
Yes.
Yes. With a couple of tools, it does shrink down.
Yes.
Here's one. So this is the screwdriver that they found on the roof.
Of course.
Right? So because I had to take the gun apart.
100%.
You know, so that's that. Here's my shirt, my maroon shirt that I have.
For the change of clothes later.
Yeah, because I dressed, you know, in one way, and then I changed into my American Eagle thing.
And then you changed into tactical gear at some point.
And I changed into tactical gear, and then back into this.
Right,
right.
Yes,
this
of course.
And then I was also wearing shorts, which it got hot that day.
Right,
so
of course.
Go.
Everybody, you know.
I had to go into shorts. And yeah, so speaking of the back, so here's my blue backpack that I have inside of the black backpack.
Oh my God, I'm dying.
This is just in case, you know, I had a lot of stuff.
Right, yeah, I mean, you know, of course.
I had stuff. And what else do I have in here? I have the other tool because I had left the other screwdriver on the roof. You know, and I had to put the gun back together, right? I had to, you know, leave it in a nice towel.
Of course.
For the authorities to find.
Show the people so they can see.
In the woods.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I had to, you know, I had wrapped nicely.
Yes.
Like this for cash to find.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Put it back together.
Put it back to, yeah. So I needed another set to put it back together.
Of course. Here. It makes total sense.
And then I was just doing a little bit of light reading, you know, Romeo and Juliet, my love, Shakespeare. Is what I...
So that everybody knows where to search for the vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, now I'm just awaiting trial, unfortunately.
Yes.
That's pretty much it. So this is the magical backpack.
Thank God, you know, you have like a Mary Poppins bag that's covering your light. I don't know if that matters. But, I mean, it's just so fabulous. And of course, I had to be here today to interview you. I mean, I couldn't miss out on the opportunity being everybody's favorite independent journalist. I mean, I'm even being brought up by Candace Owens now these days. I don't know if you know.
I heard about that from the jail cell.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Good.
They let us have, you know, internet and cable in there.
Wow.
Well, you know, this they got to keep us entertained.
Yeah, good. I'm so glad to hear it. Okay, so it's going to be an interesting show, and we have so much to go over, but before we get into everything,
What are we talking about? You want to do a quick rundown?
Sure. So we're going to talk about all of the, to keep on theme with the Halloween episode, all of the spooky characters that we have uncovered from the Charlie Kirk assassination. Then we're going to go into updates on the Charlie Kirk assassination, talk a little bit about the Tucker Nick Fuentes interview, and then, of course, we're ending with Israel. and AIPAC and some of the stuff that's going on there. And some TPUSA highlights from last night. JD Vance was there. Erica Kirk was there. So, yeah. How do you feel about that?
I feel good about that. I need to take these sunglasses off, unfortunately, because I can't see a goddamn thing in the dark.
That's fine, because that's how Tyler Robinson wore them at Dairy Queen.
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's right.
So you're fine. You're still in character.
Yes.
So, okay. So it was crazy. I did a story on this guy, Skylar Baird, and I had been compiling information on him. We brought him up briefly on our last episode. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that whole situation. That was wild.
So I was like already looking at these interesting characters from the crowd. We all have been. And it's interesting because all the characters that act strange during the Charlie Kirk assassination were not UVU students. They, like, attended from Utah. They were over the age of 30. They're all LDS, and we're going to get into that. But I had this one guy that I had been researching because the Google Trends searches, his name was one of them, Skylar Baird. And so his name had search spikes on Google prior to September 10th coming from Tel Aviv, Haifa, and the United States, D.C., from D.C., so I compiled that. I thought he was acting weird. And then over the weekend, it broke that the FBI was going after UVU witnesses that had their own footage and contacting them and saying, hey, we need you to delete your footage. And these were all witnesses that were on the right side of Charlie. And if you notice, we don't really have any angles from the right side of Charlie. You need to delete your footage because it might cause you PTSD. So I'm like, this is crazy. So I start looking at this guy, Ryan Simmons' footage. He's one of the people that submitted his footage to the FBI, and he got contacted several times from the FBI. And I noticed, oh my God, there's this guy, Skylar Baird. It's a perfect angle at him. And I've already been doing all this research. So
you're thinking that maybe they wanted to delete because Skylar Baird is in the background doing something, or?
I didn't know, but I was like, it's so weird. I've been, you know, I already had a file on this guy. And so then it was a direct angle at him, which there weren't many because, again, all of the footage is coming from the other angle. So, of course, I'm thinking, you know, the FBI doesn't want that angle out there because of ballistics or who knows why. But coincidentally, also Skylar Baird is caught, his expressions, everything. And so I'm like, I'm doing this story. So I do this story about how there's this guy, Skylar Baird, and, you know, he just happens to get, like, on the floor pass at the Charlie Kirk thing. He gets a floor pass to the memorial. He has these Google searches, right? He's flying out of planes for doing Coast Guard ads prior to that. There's all this weird stuff about him. He's the first one to tackle George Zinn.
That was when I started to get a little weirded out because he didn't really do anything weird in the footage that I saw from Ryan Simmons, but then he had posted his own video. He was doing an interview. I don't know what it was, but he was saying that he was one of the first to apprehend George Zinn. He helped the police tackle him to the ground. And I'm like, well, that's an interesting coincidence because why would you even – because first of all, he was not actually anywhere near him, right? Because in the shot,
right,
he was like pretty close to the stage. And then all of a sudden, he says he's tackling George Zinn, who is in the crowd. So does that mean that maybe he knew George Zinn was going to do something like that, and then he went over there? I don't know. This is obviously speculative, but it was bizarre that he showed up in your live stream. I don't even know how many people were on your live stream.
So, okay, so I post the story, and then I'm like, I have to do a live on this because it wouldn't let me post the story. And I had to,
what do you mean it wouldn't let you post the story?
It wouldn't let me download and post the story from TikTok. So I had to screen record it. And so I'm like, I've got to tell the audience this. I go on IG Live. I had like 130 people in there. And I'd been live for 18 minutes. So the story did end up going viral. But at the time, it had like 4,000 views, like nothing. And all of a sudden, it says in the chat, Skylar Baird has entered. And
I know your reaction was like, looks like Skylar Baird has just joined.
Is because that a different, like, Skylar Baird? Because I thought this was like a fake name.
Mm.
Right? Like, I'm like, no way this is the actual guy. So, and I'm like, no way. Like, this is somebody pretending to be like Tyler Robinson or something. Right? So I'm like,
yeah, the trolls on the internet.
So I'm like, oh, Skylar, if this is really you, like, join video. And like, I'd love to hear your side of the story. And it's fucking him.
And he is, from what I heard, that you know your interview with him, he was in Australia actually at his sister's wedding, but he just popped on to chat with you because he said that he had to dispel some misinformation, to, you know, nip it in the bud or whatever he said.
It was wild, and you and I have talked about this in length. Obviously, I called you right after, and I'm like, did you fucking see that? Like, I interviewed him for, like, 50 minutes, and yes, he was in Australia across the world, and then brings up that before that he was in China, and I'm like, I'm just going to, like, ask you. That's kind of intelligence behavior, right? Like, you just flee the country after all these weird things. But I have talked to people that are associated with law enforcement, and they say someone's either tracking you or they're tracking his name being brought up there, because for someone to literally pop in your live 18 minutes after across the globe, what are the, like, there's no way that's coincidence.
At your sister's wedding, it seems that I would be a little bit busy, you know, if I was actually out of, I wouldn't be doing this.
Well, and I also just want to bring up that you and I and everybody else that's been digging in this, we're not looking at just some random person and oh, their behavior is weird. It's people that their behavior was weird, and then they're putting themselves online. They're doing interviews. This guy, Skylar Bear, did 7 interviews. This was part of my story. Same script, 10 or 15 feet away. And then he starts crying. And he said on the live he has PTSD, and that might be true, but there were no tears. It was just the facial expressions. Anyways, super weird. And
what is your hypothesis here, if we can get into that realm? Because I was doing some digging, and I said, well, why would they want these people in the crowd? What is their purpose? And based on all the research I've done, there is some, I guess, precedent of these types of staged witnesses or crisis actors. They're there for a specific purpose to propel a certain narrative. Obviously, he's there. He's on camera doing a bunch of interviews with mainstream media to say how horrific this incident was and how he was there and how he helped tackle George Zinn and stuff like that. So that would be something that they would want somebody in the crowd to do, to make sure that they have these interviews captured to then tell a story the way they want it to be told.
Right, to push the narrative that they are putting out there. Now, I will say, to Skyler's, you know, credit, he did say in the interview some things that, you know, we're all thinking. He said that when the shots were fired, he felt like they were coming from right to left, so he hid. He said the shot wasn't that loud of a sound, and he has some experience with guns, so he is surprised that it would be that rifle. But again, if you're an intelligence operative, you would say that. And then I had other people reach out to me, say that he was related to all of these people. I asked Skylar myself, and Skylar said, yes, he is related to Phil Lyman, but it was his stepdad's new wife's... I got to read it, but... it was like, you know, twice removed situation. They were at a funeral together, but that's still weird, right?
So, yeah, I guess what we're saying is there's a few weird characters. And then one thread that you were drawing in your video was talking about the LDS Church and how George Zinn is a member of the LDS Church, Skylar Baird, as well as Hunter Kozak, who was the person asking Charlie Kirk the question right when he was executed. So there is a little bit of a connection there. And I don't know if you want to go into this.
Yeah, so this is not something that we're bringing up. This is an article. Do the FBI and CIA specifically recruit Latter-day Saints? Okay, and here it is. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have long been rumored to be special targets for recruitment in government, intelligence, and security agencies. In 1971, a Ramparts magazine article claimed that the Latter-day Saints provided both the CIA and the FBI with some of their, quote, best men. Then in 1981, the Associated Press news story reported, Atlas reported the CIA does some of its most successful recruiting in predominantly LDS Utah. And it goes on to say that why Mormons make great FBI recruits. Agencies like the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA see Mormons as particularly desirable recruits and have a reputation for hiring a disproportionate number of people who belong to the church.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not saying that these guys are necessarily in the FBI or the CIA, but we're saying that there's a history of that and we shouldn't discount these possibilities.
Right. And I understand that Utah's population is 60% LDS, but it's just weird that no one in the crowd that's acting weird or bizarre is a UVU student. Mm. They're all like over the age of 30, white male, LDS church. And then they get on camera and they're doing press, every single one. And I just thought, you know, that was interesting. And the reason why the FBI and the CIA like to recruit LDS members, not as like their head officers, but as people to be a part of an operative, is because they're good at carrying out a mission. They listen to rules. They don't drink. They don't smoke. You know, they're used to being kind of yes men. And so they're great for something like this.
Yeah. So that's certainly a connection there. And just the reaction that we've gotten from the people involved, right, the Frank Turks of the world, which we'll get into here in a second, is that this is actually abhorrent behavior. What we're doing is, you know, some of the worst things that you can do. We're conspiracy theorists. We're causing harm to Charlie's family. How do you feel about it? How do you respond to that?
I think
or how should we respond to that?
I mean, look, you know, the idea that this was a lone gunman is just such a joke.
A lone gunman plus the Mauser 98, 30-06 caliber. Do you want to play that clip from Don Jr.? Didn't Don Jr.
Yeah.
He was asked about whether or not he believes the conspiracy or if he thinks the FBI is doing a good job, and he was having a hard time answering the question.
Yeah, so on Candace's show yesterday, she brings up the fact that John Jr. was like really good friends with Charlie Kirk, and she's disappointed with the way that he's answering questions. He's kind of fumbling, and I will play that. But she brings up a very important point that he's a hunter. Almost every picture of him is like with, you know, somebody like something that he killed in Africa in the forest or something. And she says, if you really believe the FBI is doing a good job, post a video saying you believe that this was the rifle and it was a .30-06. So,
yeah, he just couldn't really answer the question. It was bizarre.
No. So here that is.
Just to round back, do you have confidence in the investigation? Should we have confidence in this FBI investigating?
I do, you know, and I don't like it when the people have the private, you know, but I've spoken to everyone, you know, around, and, you know, Erica, and I do have confidence. And,
yep.
You know, when I start seeing some of the other stuff, it's like, man, and by the way, just so we're clear, as you all probably know, if you're here, you probably follow me a little bit. Like, I'm about as conspiratorial as it gets within the realm of sanity for good cause, right? I think I was the guy that first said, like, the difference between a conspiracy theory and the truth is usually about 6 months. You know, I was the guy canceled for pushing all of the obvious things that were conspiracy theories, that, you know, Wuhan or whatever it may be, you know, lab virus leak. You know, the problem is that there is a cottage industry of just clicks and people that are more than happy to, you know, to profiteer, you know, off of that. Again, that, I'm not saying that a lot of this stuff isn't real and isn't true, and I've been pushing all of that, but some of the stuff does get a little bit off the rails, and I think, you know, you're really, it's been used even by the other side as a way to distract from the bigger picture of what happened to him, of
yes.
what the other side has proven that they are actually willing to do.
Okay, so he's going with this thing that there's the violent leftist conversation. That's what we should be worried about versus some kind of, I don't know, nefarious plot to execute a person who has been shown. Now, if we look back, I think this is a little bit of hindsight, but, and this is something that I didn't totally realize about Charlie while he was still with us, is that he actually had principles and he was sticking to those principles. And when you have those kinds of guys in places of, you know, positions of power, that's, you know, when you see them kind of getting, you know, because the people who are willing to play ball, they stay alive. You know, it's only the people who are principled saying, no, I will not do this. I will not compromise these set of values. That's when it becomes problematic.
Well, I think what you see in that clip is someone who is flustered by the question.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
mean, it's just like this guy, Don Jr., is normally very well spoken. He doesn't miss a beat. And, you know, Candace brings this point up, too. He's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. If your dad's the president of the United States and your dad says, right, don't talk about this, or, you know, stick to the narrative or the agenda, you can't really go against your dad, the president of the United States, but he doesn't even really know what to say there. He's like, so, you know, I don't think he believes it.
Right. Has anybody yet asked him a question about the rifle, the bullet? Because like Candace is saying, he's a
seasoned
avid
hunter.
Yeah. Seasoned hunter. So he should know this and he should be able to answer the question. Because I have yet to see, there's been like tons and tons of videos on YouTube and Twitter X of people trying to replicate that with the same caliber. And I understand the same caliber could have different powers, or depending on like how you pack it, the gunpowder and things like that. But I've yet to see one where it doesn't cause catastrophic damage.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know that anybody has asked him that question. And I'm sure after Candace made that remark yesterday to say, if you really believe they're doing a good job with the investigation, then go on and make a video saying you believe it was that gun. I'm sure he's going to stay far away from the media and far away from that question, because every single hunter that I've seen, I haven't seen one hunter online say, yep, that did it. The spine of steel. Not one. Have you?
I have not. I have not seen any single hunter expert. You know, now all the experts, you know, we don't want to hear from them anymore, right? For a while there, it was like, we need to hear from the experts. And now, oh no, no more experts.
And it is weird to me that we really haven't heard anything since the memorial from President Trump or anybody in the Trump family about, we're going to find out who did this. It's just...
Well, no, I mean, they already found out who did that. I mean, Kash Patel has been on various programs saying, I think we got the guy. This is the guy that we think did it. And we're moving forward with the prosecution, right? They don't want to find anything else, right? This has been this just came out yesterday, where Kash Patel shut down a counterintelligence probe looking into whether or not there was a foreign agent involved in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I think we have something there.
So this is really crazy. This was posted yesterday, and there are many articles. This is just an ex post summarizing it, but developing: FBI Director Kash Patel reportedly confronted counterterrorism chief Joe Kent after Kent reviewed FBI files to probe possible foreign ties to Charlie Kirk's assassination. Kent, a top aide to Tulsi Gabbard, believed foreign actors could have aided accused shooter Tyler Robinson. Patel argued Kent was overstepping and risking the FBI's ongoing case.
Okay, that's bizarre, because you would only act like that if you were afraid that they were going to find something. If you were so confident in your set of facts and your evidence, you wouldn't really be worried about people poking around and looking, right? Because you would say, my case is airtight. I don't care what you do. You're never going to find anything, because there's nothing to find. He would only be acting like this if he was afraid, oh, maybe you would find something that's going to undermine the case that I've been building. And also, that shows kind of a lack of duty, because his job is to find
100%
the killer or multiple. If there was a conspiracy, his job is not just to put somebody behind bars. It's to put the right person or group of people behind bars, right? That's what justice is, not just like, oh, we're going to lock somebody up and move on. And so that's clearly, it's like, if there is nothing to find, you wouldn't be afraid of people looking.
Right, 100%. It's just crazy to me that, you know, Don Jr. was so close to Charlie Kirk. He was a part of TPUSA and, like, doing all of the different tours on the college campuses. Charlie made a huge difference for young voters for Donald Trump. I mean, people could argue that if it wasn't for Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump would not have won the election. And so to not even, you know, do a press conference on it after, you know, 5 days after the memorial, and just say, we're putting his head on a quarter and, you know, it's wrapped up. And, like, not to mention, we don't know anything about Thomas Crooks and the, you know, assassination into Donald Trump. It's just like, you know, they don't want to investigate these things. But
well, I think they're going to give him the ballroom, potentially the name, the Charlie J. Kirk Ballroom. You know how the East Wing has now been demolished and they're building that humongous ballroom. They said maybe they'll name it after him.
And I heard that ballroom is being funded by one of two people, either Peter Thiel or Elon Musk. You know how it's private funding?
Awesome.
Yeah. So that ballroom is going to come with surveillance.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't certainly be sharing no secrets in that ballroom, right? You shouldn't be. It's probably bugged to the – I mean, the White House has already been bugged. Like, we already knew that since Nixon and Watergate and everything.
Yet
else.
We couldn't find out whose Coke it was.
Oh, for Hunter Biden.
I mean, there's cameras.
No, we all knew that it was his.
I mean, you know, people say Kamala Harris allegedly drinks, but we don't know what she's doing on the side. No, okay. So back to Kash Patel. I kind of think that they're going to throw him under the bus and he might get fired soon.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, I don't know if you've seen recently, but, and did I even put this up here? I don't know if I did. Oh, yeah, here it is. People are posting all over the place the fact that Kash Patel is flying private while the government shut down, spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars just in fuel of taxpayer money to go visit his girlfriend.
His lovely, lovely, not definitely not a honeypot.
Definitely
girlfriend.
Not definitely a honeypot. Not.
Yeah, yeah, totally legitimate. They're in love. Look at them.
I mean,
let's go back to that.
Of course. Yeah. You know what I mean? So anyways, people are bringing this up, and I just think it's really interesting because it's kind of everywhere online. Like, Kash Patel called out people that use government funds flying private in the past when he was, you know, running for the position of director of FBI, and now he's doing the exact same thing. He should be ashamed of himself. And then, simultaneously, you see Ivanka Trump flying commercial. People are... in the last week, taking pictures of her doing that. And
she's flying economy. She's not even flying in first class.
And you know, I won't do that. So, like, I mean, I will in certain circumstances.
When was the last time you flew in economy?
Look, I've flown Spirit recently in the last year. It was a wedding. I had to get there in one flight. But anyways, I do what I have to do. But I prefer to, you know, not be in the back of the bus. But you also have... Cheryl Hines and RFK Jr. flying economy commercial recently.
Well, I think all government officials should fly economy commercial, right? Because you're literally using taxpayers' dollars to what? To fund your Gulfstream and shit like that? That's not.
But look,
that's not, especially now the government shut down. We're in so much debt, budget cuts or whatever. We can't afford SNAP benefits, but yet we can do private jets.
Exactly. But you have Ivanka Trump, you know, who is independently wealthy, married to Jared Kushner. You have RFK Jr., a Kennedy, married to Cheryl Hines, you know, a very successful actress, both of them independently wealthy. They're doing it to make a point.
Okay, so you're saying that they're doing it to make Kash Patel look bad.
I think they're planting and watering the seeds, and, you know, they know that the left and the right is not happy with the way that this investigation is going. This is like Epstein 2.0, the Charlie Kirk case. No one really believes the narrative. No one really believes the narrative.
And also, he's just not doing a good job, right? He was, you know, he keeps going on and on about like the 33 hours. Even if, let's say, we're totally wrong about this whole thing, Tyler Robinson is the guy, they didn't even catch him.
Right. Right. His dad persuaded him to turn himself in, but he has not pled guilty. And now Bill Ackman's $1 million reward, if Tyler Robinson is found guilty in court, will be rewarded to Tyler Robinson's dad, as long as they're able to prove that Tyler Robinson's dad did not collude with Tyler Robinson in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So the dad who persuaded him to turn himself in is going to get a milli.
Is he really? Is that confirmed?
That is confirmed.
That's insane.
And there's all of this, you know, response to what I just said saying, oh, no, you know, I've heard that Tyler Robinson's dad said he's going to give the money to TPUSA. He's going to give the money to Erica Kirk. Well, guess where that rumor came from?
Where?
Bill Ackman. Bill Ackman, I swear to God, said to the news when he was asked about this, I heard from a good source that the family would donate the money to TPUSA. Tyler Robinson's dad never said that, or is at least not on record of saying that. It's Bill Ackman saying, I had a source tell me this.
Well, Bill Ackman needs to just go back to doing what, you know, Bill Ackman does, which is, you know, his hedge fund stuff where he shorts companies, steals, you know, whatever he does to make his billions of dollars. Like, I don't understand still why he gets involved in all of this, like, online political Twitter spats and things like that. What is he doing?
He's trying to influence politics.
Well, you can influence it from behind the scenes. Are these guys not? See, the problem I think some of these guys is that they're not even happy controlling things and how it works. They also want to be out there getting the credit for it. They want that the adulation from the public. They want to show that this is what I did. This is my contribution. Versus just, you know, back in the days, people like the Koch brothers and things like that, you never heard anything about them. They never went to do media. They weren't tweeting. They were just doing their...
Well, could they tweet?
Well...
I don't know if Twitter was around.
But you know what I'm saying. They didn't do any media hits. They didn't go on mainstream media to talk about whatever their ideas are. They just did their ideas in private. That's how I prefer my billionaire, you know, people.
Yeah. So, very interesting. And then also back to the dad. Remember, we were originally told that he was the father of justice. Remember that? We were told he was a police officer.
Yes.
And they were calling him the father of justice. This father of justice has turned his son in. President Trump said that. Turns out, wrong Robinson. It was, you know, and the police station had to come out and say, that's not the Robinson that's a part of our duty. Tyler Robinson's dad is a construction worker. Well, you know, we don't know.
Some of that, some of that could be just online misinformation. Like people were saying stuff without confirming whatever the truth is.
Trump said father of justice when he was on that Fox News, and he said, we're pretty sure we got the guy. He's turning himself in that morning. Remember, he was on like Fox and Friends?
Yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah.
So this whole thing, I mean, so now it's like, do you think Tyler Robinson at this point is even going to make it to trial? Like, what's happening? Because right now they're doing some weird things. I think we talked about this last week, but they're doing some kind of gag order on the witnesses, right? If you've been identified as a witness, you are not allowed to speak to the media. Now they're maybe deciding to do a camera ban potentially.
Okay, so about the gag order, I actually have a really interesting clip. There was a whistleblower, a part of TPUSA, and they've come forward and they did an interview with InfoWars, and they said that they're not going to listen to the gag order. And you'll see in this clip, they've masked their voice and their face. And they're basically saying that Erica Kirk gave a stand down order, and she was going to take over TPUSA and was playing that role before.
What do you mean by a stand down order?
Well,
what is it?
That they weren't coordinating with the UVU police. They weren't coordinating with Utah police that day. And that was very, very odd, and that there was all of these loose ends. So let's hear it from this whistleblower.
Right. Tel Aviv.
Like, I know what happens to people who talk, but the gag order, that judge can go fuck himself. This is America, not Israel. Every time Erica got involved in a turning point event, something felt off. People got pulled from their posts for no clear reason, replaced with names nobody recognized. They weren't loud about it. They just appeared. They'd hover, take notes, make little adjustments. It wasn't like they were running things outright, more like they were watching, testing reactions. And they did strange things, subtle stuff, asking for background checks on volunteers who'd already cleared, rerouting internal comms through temporary systems nobody could verify, requesting access to attendee lists that had nothing to do with their role. Utah Valley University was when it really spiraled. It was supposed to be a normal event. Instead, everything was confusion. Schedules changing midday, supplies missing, people told conflicting things. The rest of us were running in circles trying to hold it together, and those same new faces were everywhere, always nearby, always listening. What most people don't realize is that Erica had already started acting like CEO before Charlie even died. She was giving orders, making executive calls, speaking for the organization in ways that made all of us uncomfortable. Charlie would try to intervene, and she'd just talk over him, like he didn't even matter anymore. And then, just days after he died, they announced her as the new CEO, like she was some kind of savior stepping in during a tragedy. That didn't sit right with anyone who'd been there. We all saw what was happening. Charlie had started finding things out months before Utah about her family, about the money, the deep state ties, and worse, the stuff connected to those private charities and offshore accounts.
Okay, so, all right, my initial, I haven't seen that clip before, actually. Stuff like that, I think we need to just, you know, I'm just going to become a normal normie here, not a conspiracy person. Yeah, we don't know. When you see anonymous whistleblowers like that, you don't really know if it's made up. It could be completely fabricated, which has been done many times before. You just fabricate a story and then you put it on the internet and you see, because they already know that this is a narrative on the internet. So they're fueling that narrative with, you know, they want, like, people like us are susceptible to believe something like that. So that's why they're putting it out there, because they know we would bite on it. So that's why I want to just caveat with that to begin with. I mean, the stuff that he's claiming is extraordinary. And it does remind me a little bit about the JFK assassination. in all the research I've done about that is like things changing on the day, people not being where they're supposed to be, Secret Service, some of them were confused, like, why are we doing this? Shouldn't we have this covered? There was just like a lot of conflicting orders on that day. Even, I think, you know, you've seen the footage where there was a Secret Service guy behind the motorcade and he was just like confused, like, why are they taking this road? I thought they were supposed to go over there or something. And so that does remind me a little bit of that, where on the day of, there's like a little bit of chaos. So the people who maybe are not in the know are just acting like, what the fuck is going on here? And the people who are, you know, the few people maybe who are involved in that are using, or they're using that to do something nefarious. That's, if we were to take that at face value.
Yeah, I will say that I have spoken to someone that I know, and they, let's just say, were around this group of people, the TPUSA people, and they said they didn't corroborate all that. They just basically said, yeah, Erica, a little off.
A little off. I mean,
in the sense that the way she's portrayed, and this person did not know her well, but just, you know, maybe that the way she's portrayed as this like angelic figure might not be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are saying that. I once again, I would hate to, you know, I've done a couple. We've talked about Erica a little bit. I've talked to her. I've talked about her a little bit on my own platforms. But strictly speaking to the Romanian angel situation, where she seemed to have been, maybe not knowingly, but she was certainly involved in some kind of child trafficking operation, brothel on a military base. Not good.
No.
But as far as like her being a honeypot or all these other things, I don't want my TikTok taken down. I'm just kidding.
Well, you've already had it taken down twice.
I have had it taken down twice. It's insane.
You don't want it permanently taken down. Okay, on the honeypot situation, there was a honeypot whistleblower that came out last night. She works for Russia, and she's talking about how there's a group of Russian women that are sent to Silicon Valley to infiltrate these high-up tech guys. And they even go as far as marry them and have kids with them. Because a lot of people are like, well, if, you know, if Erica is a honeypot, let's say, she wouldn't marry him and have kids. And I just want to play this because I think it's interesting and applicable to the situation.
Oh, easily, you know, like, they easily targeted because they're very, like, you know, nerdish, kind of like, maybe they're genius in IT and technology, but definitely not in dating. So they are very easy targets for those female agents who know how to manipulate on their own ego or their own, you know, perception about themselves, how to do gaslighting, how to do like whole like love bombing. There are like so many techniques. The Russian male agents who are very experienced, they would create a fake account of a female, a beautiful, you know, sexy, I don't know, whatever, like wearing bikini. So it's like kind of like eye-catchy. Men are kind of very naive. If a beautiful girl striking the ego and telling, oh, pretending also to be the victim, I'm alone, I'm by myself, I'm a student, don't have money. Come on, like this is all obviously fake, right? Just an example. If I would like want to target you, I would give you compliments in the beginning and then say, but you know, in your article, you could add this and this and this, and like that information was not right or blah, blah, blah. You sort of have like this sort of doubts. Maybe I could put more information. Maybe I could do more research or whatever.
Hold on. So they're not even meeting these supposed honeypots? They're just online chatting, and then they're adding stuff or making policy changes based on some DMs from random
women. So there's a longer clip, and they do say like there's been a lot of them that have married these individuals, they've had children with these individuals, and then they influence them basically to make those changes. But I just, that last part where they give them a lot of compliments, and you know, there are people that find Charlie Kirk attractive, and there's a lot of people that say he's not the best looking guy. And when you look at Erica Kirk and the way that she was always just like on camera, like,
yeah,
I can't
doting.
Even.
Yes.
She would say, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to focus on this podcast because I just can't stop staring at you. You know, she really played that up.
Yeah, that's that. I know which clip you're talking about.
And Nick Fuentes actually brought that up, and he's like, "That's when I knew she was a fucking actress."
But she was an actress, though. That's the thing. She actually was in music videos, and I think trying to become an actress.
Yeah.
Because she was in the pageant circuit, I guess, and then all of a sudden now pivoting into politics. Right. That I still find it a little bit sketchy how that interview was set up. It's like, what qualified her to get the TPUSA job or even interview for that job in the first place? The interview that, you know, made Charlie Kirk fall in love with her and how he said, "I can't hire you. I want to date you," that kind of thing.
I mean, I don't know. She had family that worked in, right, the Defense Department. So, like I've said before, I mean, you know, a lot of people believe that Charlie was an asset of sorts for the Republican Party, and, you know, she wanted a political husband, so it might have just been like a matchmaking, arranged marriage type of a situation. Did she infiltrate, or was it just, you know, we know that she was also dating other high-profile Republicans, and then, you know, you always have these people, too, that, like, were on reality TV shows. And
oh, yeah, she was on a reality. Wasn't she on
Summer House? Yeah. You know, she had a little cameo, a music video. So somebody that wants to be in the limelight for sure. And maybe she thought, you like many people, that Charlie Kirk was going to be the next president of the United States. And we don't know if she's innocent or guilty. But, you know, it is interesting to hear people that are kind of on the inside or these, you know, alleged whistleblowers coming out and saying, like, shit was weird. And by the way, there's that other guy. I think it's Ian Wendt. Did a video. He knows people at TPUSA. He's also showing text messages that there were stand down orders at UVU, that they were not cooperating like normal, the security for TPUSA, with the UVU police.
No, there was definitely some weird things going on that day, which is why we need the investigation, which is why we need to open up independent investigations, right? Because I know Kash Patel, he says, hey, this is the FBI's jurisdiction, counterterrorism, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
But if you have the guy, right, the first day that Charlie was shot, John Solomon, right? He was on Fox News saying there was a little bit of foreign intelligence involved, and then now we're just going to discount that comment.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Another thing that's just really simple. It's a huge event, right? How many thousands of students were there?
I think 3,000.
So, and it was middle of summer, September. It was hot. It was warm. Why was there no ambulance?
That's a good question, right? People have pointed this out. They're saying that they should have had a paramedic set up already. They didn't.
And we know now from Candace Owens and her text message exchanges with Charlie Kirk, he felt he was going to get taken out. He feared that. And we know that days before he was, you know, having, you know, friction with some big donors that have, you know, ties with, you know, countries that take people out. So, you know, it's a little odd. There's not even an ambulance. What if it's just for, you know, if a student faints in the crowd because they overheat? You hear that all the time because, you know, Charlie Kirk arrives, but students wait out in the heat for hours before he actually gets there, right? Because they want to get, like, good positioning. They want to catch a MAGA hat. No ambulance.
No, this whole thing is – no, there's some weird going on here. It doesn't seem like a shooter because they have in the past, they always release the shooter in terms of them carrying a gun wherever they're going. It's like here they're tracing, like if you think of like Uvalde or even going back through like the first school shooting in Columbine, they have released those images of like, hey, here's the shooter with the gun and going down the hall. But we just haven't seen that yet. And I don't know, because Kash Patel is just saying, oh, no, we have to save that for the prosecution, save that for the trial. But why?
And it seems like they're saving it for the trial because they're trying to figure out, you know, what their official story and evidence is going to be.
Well, I got to say, if he makes it to trial, this has got to be one of the easiest defense cases, right? I mean, in terms of the defense, you have to prove what? Beyond a reasonable doubt, or there has to be beyond a reasonable doubt to convict. I think there's a lot of doubt at this moment.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the trial is going to be in Utah, right? I think it said it's going to start January 16th.
Well, I don't know if it's going to start, right? That's like the next time Robinson will be in court, but that's not necessarily the start of the trial, right? I haven't done the full dig on when the trial is supposed to start because there's a lot of these like proceedings. Sometimes there's you know, continuances. They say, well, we need more time to do discovery, this and that. And then there's a whole jury selection process. It could take a long time.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. And again, you know, they're putting out information that he's suicidal. So that's something, right? Will there be a trial because, you know, he's going to be proven innocent? Or is there going to be no trial because all of a sudden, you know, he's gone? Like his boyfriend, Lance Twiggs, who has vanished and disappeared.
Yeah, gone. And I tweeted this out. It's like, did he even exist? We never saw him. He never.
it's just crazy at this point. And I think it's like really, really weird that the people that are doing the digging are like me and you. And like, you know, of course, Candace, because she knew him, but like Ian Carroll and like other independent journalists that didn't even know Charlie, but were like, no, 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 you bitches have been lying to us for years. Like, we're not gonna, you know.
Well, I think that's the whole thing that I want. And that's what I'm, you know, that's why I'm into it, is because they're not doing it. It seems like the FBI has fully abdicated their duty. They're not really looking for whoever it is. They're just looking for the specific set of facts that fit their purpose, which is to convict Tyler Robinson. They don't actually care about looking at all the evidence, right? You could see
clearly
it
if they're telling the witnesses from the right angle that submitted their footage to the FBI, hey, you know, we got your footage. You need to delete it because you might get PTSD. That's weird. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, yeah. It's for our own. I mean, that's what they always say, though. It's like, oh, it's for our own safety. It's for our own good that we delete the footage. I mean, this is the same type of language that they use in all kinds of psyops and cover-ups, right? In COVID and stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is for your own good.
Yeah, it's never. It's never for your own good. But speaking of Erica Kirk, there was a TPUSA event last night.
She spoke. I think she spoke at it, or at least came out and did a wave or something like that.
She came out, did like an intro, and Mikey McCoy was the one videoing her.
That's technically his job. I'm not saying Mikey shouldn't be.
No, but
interviewing.
For those of you, I don't know if we really touched on it too much last episode. I know you've done videos on it now.
Did you think of the explanation from TPUSA saying that Mikey was not on the phone? This is, you know, there's quote unquote debunking the theory that Mikey was calling somebody right away or was on the phone already. What did you think of their explanation?
Do we have that, or?
I'm not sure if we have that clip, actually.
Okay, so for those of you that are not fully caught up, Mikey McCoy was Charlie Kirk's chief of staff.
Oh, we do have that. That is element E5. It's kind of a long clip, so maybe we'll just play a minute or two of it.
Mikey McCoy was Charlie Kirk's chief of staff. His dad is the pastor, Rob McCoy, who is the CFO of TPUSA. And the video that we saw that we looked at last week on our episode is that Mikey McCoy, and now we saw Candace Owens break it down by the second, within 1 second of him being shot, gets on the phone, and now they're trying to justify
this
behavior.
Gets on the phone, walking away in a calm manner. That's the weird part. I don't care if he's getting on the phone. That's not sketchy to me, because he's supposed to, like, I think they had a plan already. I think they were going to talk about it in this clip. That's like, hey, the first thing you do, if something happens to Charlie, you call Erica, right? So I don't really think there's a problem with that. It's more of the calmness of it, right? There's also that other guy who's, like, filming himself. Just, like, kind of weird behavior where you should be human instinct, going down the ground.
Yeah.
Or going to help Charlie. I don't want, you know, people are like, you don't even know how you would react in that situation. Like, we kind of do.
I don't, but I can rule out a few ways I wouldn't act.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly my point. Yeah.
Okay, let's play this.
Pressing of a video that went viral this weekend. And it's a video of Charlie's chief of staff. We made the decision that we wanted to address this head on because, you know, candidly, there's so much intrigue, and I'm gonna do a generous thing. The intrigue is because people care about Charlie. Okay, so that part I understand.
You're more generous than I'd be.
Yes, and that's fine. And I am going to give you the floor here now, Blake, because you were there and you actually interacted with Mikey. You were with Mikey. You left the scene and then connected with Mikey. So explain the video is.
All right.
Set the scene.
I'm not going to wallow in it at length, but people have, it's gone viral and people have asked us to address it. And we're going to do so briefly. The video, without going way into it, is by, I can't even remember the guy's name. Someone made a video that is attacking Mikey, Charlie's friend, Charlie's chief of staff, a guy all of us know, a guy who we've seen on the show here the last few weeks. They are attacking him, claiming, based on a few seconds of clips, that he allegedly has like a nonchalant or calm reaction to Charlie's murder. And I'm just going to be blunt about this. This is a extremely disgusting attack. And I can speak to that because I was there when it happened and I was next to Mikey when it happened. And what I can say is, I can't say every single thing that happened, but I want to talk about this specific narrow thing, that the shooting occurs. I am next to Mikey. Both of us hear a loud crack. We both turn. We both see Charlie, who has been shot. Both of us, I think at about the same time, realize that that means there is a shooter who is on the scene. And, you know, you just hear the crack, so you don't know, did it come from far away? Did it come from close? Is there a mass shooter unfolding right now?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you just get – I don't understand how this is debunking anything because he's still acting bizarre, right? He's saying that we don't know. Well, if you don't know, you should get down.
Yeah, 100%. So everybody was saying, like, you know, what's his connection? And Mikey hasn't made any statements. Mikey's, you know, been too busy. And so last night he's at the TPUSA event and he is.
Oh, did he come out and say something last night?
No, but he is the one videoing Erica Kirk behind the screen. But this was interesting. J.D. Vance was there and the college students are asking him all sorts of questions that everybody wants to know. Specifically, why is the United States giving money to Israel? Is this an America First administration or not? Watch this.
Man, and I'm just confused why that there's this notion that we might owe Israel something, or that they're our greatest ally, or that we have to support this multi-hundred-billion-dollar foreign aid package to Israel to cover this, to quote Charlie Kirk, ethnic cleansing in Gaza. I'm just confused why this idea has come around, considering the fact that not only does their religion not agree with ours, but also openly supports the prosecution of ours.
Yeah, so let's say a few things about this. First of all, when the President of the United States says America first, that means that he pursues the interests of Americans first. That is our entire foreign policy. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have alliances, that you're not going to work with other countries from time to time. And that is what the president believes, is that Israel, sometimes they have similar interests to the United States and we're going to work with them in that case. Sometimes they don't have similar interests to the United States. And this example, the most recent Gaza peace plan that all of us have been working on very hard for the past few weeks, the president of the United States could only get that peace deal done by actually being willing to apply leverage to the state of Israel. So when people say that Israel is somehow manipulating or controlling the president of the United States, they're not controlling this president of the United States, which is one of the reasons why we'd be able to have some of the success that we've had in the Middle East. Now, you ask about, you know, sort of Jews disagreeing with Christians on certain religious ideas. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the realities is that Jews do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Obviously, Christians do believe that. There are some significant theological disagreements between Christians and Jews. My attitude is, let's have those conversations. Let's have those disagreements when we have them. But if there are shared areas of interest, we ought to be willing to do that too. For example, one thing I really care about is the preservation of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Christians believe that is the site where Jesus Christ was crucified, and also that his tomb is right there as well. My attitude is, if we can work with our friends in Israel to make sure that Christians have safe access to that site, that's an obvious area of common interest. I am fine with that. What I'm not okay with is any country coming before the interests of American citizens, and it is important for all of us, assuming we're American citizens, to put the interest of our own country first. That's what we're going to do. That's what we try to do every single day, I promise you.
Well, I mean, he did kind of have a mini gaffe, I would say, because I haven't heard that. I saw somebody ask him that question. I hadn't heard the entire clip, but he did say that Israel doesn't control this president of the United States, meaning that they've controlled other presidents in history, I guess. And he's saying, no, Trump is above that. He's, you know, he's the top dog, which I don't know. Even Trump himself, when he was in Israel, was saying, well, my biggest donor, Miriam Adelson, I think she's Israel first. And I, you know, I have to listen to her a little bit there. So I think, no, I'm glad this event took place, because I was looking on Twitter and there were a collection of questions that were asked, and they're saying, man, these guys, these kids are awake. I don't say woke, but awake, in terms of they asked about the
awake,
Palantir.
Awake.
Palantir data collection. They asked about
like
Trump.
Me. Not woke, awake.
Not woke. Yeah, exactly. So they asked about whether or not that the clip we saw, Trump was controlled by Israel. They asked why Thomas Massie is being primaried. I don't think we have that clip, but I saw that one. And JD basically said that we're primarying him because he never does what we want him to do. He's a big problem. He always causes us, you know, headaches when we're trying to get a vote, and he never votes with us, blah, blah, blah.
Thomas Massie 2028.
Yeah. That's that seems like a good ticket, or at least part of a ticket.
Yeah.
I think some people are saying Thomas Massie, MTG. I don't know. That's not going to be necessarily
Massie.
I don't know. But
Owens.
Oh, my God. I mean, and then how they also asked about whether supporting Israel is America first, which is a part of that question as well. So I think the cat's out of the bag. You're going to have to find a good explanation for this if we continue on, right? Right now, it's a ceasefire happening. Okay, this is good. Israel is doing some things to violate the ceasefire, arguably. They're saying Hamas is also doing the same thing. They're kind of blaming each other. But it really depends on going forward. If my problem is, yes, the foreign aid is fine. We need to do some of that stuff, whatever. But what I really speak out against is when they start making rules within the United States saying, I can't oppose those policies. Like, we should be free to at least voice our disagreement, right? You can still send the money, right? I don't have any power over that. But we should be able to say, I don't like the fact that you're spending that or sending that money over. Versus now it's like, oh, BDS laws, you can't boycott Israel in 37 states. There's also now these free speech laws saying that if you criticize Israel, it's anti-Semitism. All that stuff is violating my constitutional rights, which is what I have the biggest problem with.
Yeah, and I think everybody should have a problem with that. They shouldn't get special rules compared to any other foreign country. I mean, it really doesn't make sense. But AIPAC has noticed the change, right?
Oh, yeah.
AIPAC has noticed the shift. And so now what have they done?
Well, AIPAC is now heading over to Asia.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play this clip right here, D9.
I mean, it's crazy, you know? Here we go.
This culture has one of the longest histories in the world. In recent centuries, Jewish people have suffered constant persecution. Yet with persistence and determination, the more than 15 million Jews around the world have become pillars of their respective communities. The Taiwanese people often look to the example of the Jewish people when facing challenges to our international standing and threats to our sovereignty from China. Taiwan is one of the very few countries that holds international Holocaust Remembrance Day events each year with the Israeli and German missions. In addition to cooperation on defense, security.
Okay, so first off, let me try to. This is sticky. Okay, first off, did he just join the $7,000 per post club? Did the president of Taiwan just join the 7K?
Hopefully, if he did, he's getting more than 7K. Yeah, right? Like,
okay, because this
so
is
funny.
Okay. So, because he tweeted this out right here, just to summarize some of the things that he said there. A warm welcome to AIPAC's first delegation to Taiwan. As we deepen our strategic partnerships, invest in advanced tech, and enhance our defense capabilities, we look forward to a closer Taiwan-U.S.-Israel cooperation on security, trade, and beyond, promoting peace across the Taiwan Strait. Now, my reaction to that is, I thought, or we were told, that AIPAC is an American lobbying group, lobbying on behalf of American interests. But it seems like what they're doing over there is lobbying for the interests of Israel in a foreign country.
Right.
So what is to quote Tucker Carlson, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. What is that? And I found this article about it, Israel National News. The title is, As the West Dies, Israel's Future Lies with Rising Asia. And you can see that. I don't know if you want to click to that there. But Israel shares increasingly fewer values with the leftist West, which, or the woke right, as they're saying now, which in its bid to destroy itself has abandoned its history, culture, uniqueness, and belief in itself.
Yes, that is from the Israel National News. And also, yes. I do have an excerpt saved here from that. And it says that, so, you know, they're saying, what countries can Israel sincerely share a long-lasting alliance with? And they say South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Singapore, Vietnam, Thailand, and critically, India.
Interesting.
And what I would like to say is it is bad news bears for those countries when you have this kind of, you know, lobbying group that doesn't really care about your domestic interests or the interests of your people. They're simply there to try to secure their safety, right? They want you to go and help them fund their weapons and all this stuff when there is really no strategic, you know,
benefit
to that. It's in fact probably a strategic liability for the United States at this point to be doing that, because it makes us weak, right? We're sending all our good stuff over there. It makes us weak at home.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think also, of course, that's the case with any lobbying group, right? They're going in to try to get their best interests. It's usually not, you know, to benefit someone else. I guess. Usually,
right. They're talking. Yeah. They're also talking about all this. Oh, Israel has the best technology and all this good gear. But do you really want that gear? Because the next clip I want to play is F9. OK, this is the former head of Mossad talking about how they booby trap all kinds of equipment.
Oh, my God. It's so funny that you put this clip in. I don't know where it is. I put this clip in as well. This is crazy.
No, surprises.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, intelligence surprises.
They just walkie talkies. Do you know how many equipment, I mean, treated equipment do we have in these countries?
This is crazy.
You can't, you don't. I do.
You mean, you mean booby trapped equipment?
Not only booby trapped.
And spying.
Manipulated equipment. All right.
In which countries are you talking about?
All the countries that you can imagine.
And not Gaza?
Not Gaza.
Nothing in Gaza at all.
Did you see that? If we had it, I mean, we knew something about them coming.
Well, first of all, they just destroyed Gaza. So
something, right? Would have sold them everything. Just everything. I mean, you can't imagine the quantity. When I have invented that method, that was in 2002 to 2004.
The pager method.
The manipulated equipment method. Okay. We have already used it.
Okay, so they're saying that they bug all the equipment. They make it basically a device they can, I guess, detonate at any point if they want it to. And I think the point that he's trying to make, I don't think he is reading the room properly. He's saying, no, we didn't even do this for Gaza. We conducted the warfare in a proper way. We didn't even use our best technology of the stuff, because, like, you guys didn't use that in Gaza. Did you see that? No, they just blew up Gaza with a bunch of, you know, just carpet bombing Gaza, the whole thing. Versus using these, I guess, tactical things that we saw, like, in Lebanon with the pager explosion. But I don't want to use any. I mean, they're all over the place. But I don't understand what he's saying. He's just giving the game away and saying, yeah, we've bugged all the equipment that we touch.
Well, it makes me think about that clip of Bibi Netanyahu saying, you all have cell phones in America. That's a part of Israel. You know, like, is there... Is there a hidden message there? But also with the equipment thing, and we have, you know, no space getting into this today, but obviously there is another conspiracy that's going around about Charlie Kirk, and that, you know, people don't believe it was that rifle. People don't believe it was that gun. People don't believe it was that bullet. And there is a conspiracy that is growing a lot of popularity that it was his microphone. And the only reason I bring that up is because I've heard it a lot this week from people in all different walks of life that think, you know, they've watched this guy break it down on YouTube, and then you see a clip like that, and he specifically corrects the guy when he says, oh, the pager mechanism. And he said, no, the equipment.
So it's not just pagers. He's saying, right. No, it's not limited to pagers. It's whatever thing that we've made, that we've built some chip for, or whatever, it could all be remotely activated.
Right. And you know, this idea that we as, you know, just lay people would have access to the most advanced equipment that is being used by our intelligence agencies or foreign intelligence agencies around the world is naive. We know that in like the 1970s, the CIA had a heart attack gun that came out in congressional hearings where through a wall they would be able to boop and then that person has a heart attack. We know they use biological warfare, all of these things. So we know the pagers happened in Lebanon. Is it crazy to think that maybe it wasn't a gun that killed Charlie? Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but these things are being speculated online and people discredit them because they're like, you're crazy. It couldn't have been a laser. It couldn't have been a microphone. But like, really, how do we know?
We don't know.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. A warning to all those Asian countries, Taiwan, South Korea.
You should Israel. Be warning us using these microphones. Where yeah, do these come from? Where is this made? This roar? I don't know.
Just saying, you should really be careful about getting into an alliance with Israel.
Yes. And so someone who's very against the relationship that the United States has with Israel is obviously Nick Fuentes, most famously. He's been banned. He's been, taken offline. And now he has a rise of popularity. This week, he was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. This was like a historic interview. And
it's interesting how it was historic because people are obviously really upset about it, right? People online are freaking upset. They are angry that I've never seen before. But what's interesting is PBD interviewed Fuentes like a month or two ago.
It was after Charlie Kirk's assassination.
Right. And nobody had a problem with that. Why do they have a problem with Tucker Carlson interviewing Fuentes?
It's a great point. I didn't think about that. But look at these comments of people just so pissed.
Well, I think this is coordinated here.
Usually is when they all say the same thing.
And these are all, yeah, the same thing, right? These are all Israeli, you know, pro-Israel accounts. Some of them are on the payroll.
And the funny thing is that they say in a lot of them, I don't know if any of these say it, but I think I actually just saw one that did, that this is against Charlie. You're anti-Charlie Kirk if you're doing this. Which is the most ludicrous statement to me because Charlie Kirk, first and foremost, was have the conversation.
Right.
And he was standing up for Tucker in his last text messages. No, I'm not going to ban Tucker from coming on my tour. He's coming on and so will Candace. So for all of these, you know, influencers to say, oh, my God, Tucker Carlson's going against Charlie Kirk. I think Tucker Carlson's actually upholding Charlie Kirk's legacy in the way that it should be by having this conversation with Nick Fuentes.
And I found it interesting before you play the clip, the revelation from both Nick and Candace in terms of when they were getting in trouble was because of these Zionist, whatever the apparatus that they have. When they have spoken out and they want to control them, then they leak their stuff to the people on the left to cancel Fuentes and Candace. Because what's interesting, what he revealed in that conversation, which I thought was fascinating, is that he didn't get canceled because of his white nationalist beliefs. He got canceled because he was speaking out against Israel. And they wanted to crush him early on. They actually liked him, right? You heard that, you know, the whatever that lady's name, I can't remember, from the Daily Wire, like, oh, you're so good. Like, we would love to have you. And then he started doing a little too much free speeching. And she's like, okay, no, we got to shut this guy down. And then they leak some of Fuentes's clips, the ones he's talking about with white nationalists, to left-wing organizations and say, hey, this guy is a racist. You got to get rid of him.
Wow. And is this the clip that you want to play?
This is the clip. What is this clip?
The Christian Zionist one?
This is not related to that, but this is an interesting clip. We should play it.
Okay.
And I think that neoconservatism, where does it arise from? It arises from Jewish leftists who were mugged by reality when they saw the surprise attack in the Yom Kippur War.
Yeah, that's a lot of it for sure. But then, like, how do you explain Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and there are a lot like that, John Bolton. I mean, I've known them all. George W. Bush, like Karl Rove. I mean, all people I know personally who I've seen, like, be seized by this brain virus, and they're not Jewish. Most of them are self-described Christians, and then the Christian Zionists who are, well, Christian Zionists. Like, what is that?
Right.
And I could just say for myself, I dislike them more than anybody. You know, because like what? Because it's Christian heresy and I'm offended by that as a Christian. That's why. So I don't like, why not? Like, I'm pissed at the neocons, very pissed. I've said that a million times. I've been mad since December of 2003 when I went to Iraq. And so like I went and asked straightforward questions to Ted Cruz, because that seemed like there's a sitting senator who's like serving for Israel by his own description. He seemed like a worthy target. I'm not going after MTG. Mm-hmm. Who's like the most sincere like, why not go after Ted Cruz? I don't understand.
Well, again, with Marjorie, I was a friend of her.
Okay, so this is an interesting conversation because this is actually Tucker defending Jews. Because Nick Fuentes has been very, very open about how he thinks that Jewish people are a problem as a whole, outside of even Zionism. They should, you know, he's going after the ethnicity, the religion, the cultural aspects of it and saying these people are a problem. And Tucker is saying, no, I don't have a problem with Jews. It's these Zionists. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish. That's why he's bringing the Christian Zionists into it. Like, those guys are a problem. They're not Jewish, but they are also advocating for the same genocidal policies. So it's to Tucker, it's more of a ethno-state, kind of this political project that he has a problem with that's anti-American, anti-Christian. And that's why I think it's so funny that people hate on Tucker. I'm like, he's actually there to defend the Jewish people.
And make the distinction.
But there's a problem with that. And this is why they get pissed at him, is because that distinction is very reasonable. People hear that and say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, we're not after the Jews. We're after these Zionists who are controlling the government. And because it's so reasonable, people are more willing to accept it versus like a Nick Fuentes who's like, no, we just got to get rid of all these people. Right? Tucker is much too reasonable, and they're afraid that his message will take hold with regular Americans.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Nick Fuentes, whether he's matured or evolved, or maybe he just is getting, you know, a bigger platform now, but he has changed his tune on that. And Tucker asks him about it. And he's like, look, I don't want harm against anybody. I don't want to get rid of any group of people. He feels that he's been attacked by Israel since he started his career, starting with, you know, Daily Wire and on, and had people show up at his door trying to assassinate him. And he says on this interview, he's like, look, my best friend is Jewish. I know how that sounds, yeah, you know, and he almost laughs at himself. But, you know, I don't know him, so I can't question his authenticity, but he actually has reversed on those earlier statements that he had made and said, look, I don't want harm on anybody, but I want America first.
Well, I think what he's, if I were to interpret, because I'm not an avid Nick Fuentes listener, I don't listen to all of his live streams, so I don't know exactly what he's talking about. I've seen some clips from Nick Fuentes, but my general take is that he would rather prefer the country be white. Right. He's like, I want the, you know, I think it's a problem that if we become like a minority country, I want white people to be more prominent. But I understand that America already has non-minorities here. So we're cool with that. But just don't let any more come in. That's kind of what I interpret what his position is right now.
Yeah, I don't know because, again, I didn't even know who he was a few months ago. And now
you love him. No.
And I have started, you know, watching his stuff. And he's a smart, smart kid. I mean, he has a photographic memory. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I do agree with some of the stuff that he says, 100%. And so, I don't know. I don't agree with that, right? I absolutely don't agree with that. So I don't know where he stands on that. But what's so crazy is how bothered people are by him. And someone who entered the chat yesterday about how bothered they were about this interview was none other than Josh Hammer. And let's not forget Josh Hammer, a part of TPUSA, very close with Charlie Kirk, was in that 9-person text message thread that Candace Owens leaked. And he had been saying, you know, Charlie was not against Israel. He was not changing his tune on Israel. And then someone in that group message leaked it to Candace. And it clearly shows that Josh Hammer saw that Charlie Kirk was going against that. And then we find out that Josh Hammer, the night before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, went back to a Donald Trump tweet from 2013 that said, we need public executions, and wrote, agreed. And now,
did he ever address like why he did
no,
that?
No, he's
retweet?
Just said like, oh my God, you guys are taking things out of context. Well, no, I think it's fucking weird that you went back to 2013.
Right. What is, and then explain to us the context, right? We're taking it out of context. Explain to us what the context is that you pulled up a tweet from 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago.
12.
And retweeted it the day before one of the, I don't know, this is probably the most prominent public execution since
JFK.
JFK or MLK.
MLK, yeah.
One of these folks.
100%. And you write, agreed. It's suspect, to say the least.
And what is he saying now?
So now he's come out, and let's just take a look at this. He wrote about this interview, about Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson, and there's a lot more that he said, but I just took out this part. They hope to burn down MAGA and build a neo-pagan, anti-Western, anti-biblical movement in its stead. The fox is now comfortably ensconced in the hen house. And unless the fox is neutralized, the victim could be the entire extent GOP coalition itself.
So neutralized meaning taken out.
So that's, right? that's what everybody said. Everybody goes, you know, now you can take this off. Now you've gone to say you agree with public executions, and now you're basically calling for this again, which is so freaking weird, right? Candace Owens brings it up. And so what does Josh do? Josh goes on X and posts this, neutralize. He says, one has to be truly stupid or willfully disingenuous or both to think that neutralized here means anything other than the most common usages. And so he posts this, right? And he says, to make neutral. And then this is the best part. He gets community noted this.
Wait, is it gone? The community notes is not there anymore.
No, it's there. Hold on.
Is the community note gone?
No, it's
there. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's go back.
Oops, I went to the wrong one.
No, it's not there anymore. Wow.
Well.
No more community notes. That has disappeared. That's why you got to screenshot these things.
So
we're
going to
do a live find. You're going to do a live find right now.
Yeah, I'm going to find it. Because this morning, people were posting that he was community noted. Here we go. Oh, they took it down. But here's Dave Smith talking about how he was community noted. And what it said, Dave Smith talks to this, if you want to put this on, is that the community notes said that he cropped out and posted it, not using the third definition, which basically said to take out.
Well, so I wonder why the community note disappeared. I'm sure, you know, he had nothing to do. I mean, I'm sure Josh Hammer has no structural ties to any of these people who run moderation at X. I'm sure he didn't make any phone calls. I'm sure it was just the community note moderator saying that there was an inappropriate community note. I'm sure there was no collusion of any sort, no phone calls made, no text messages sent, and it was completely independent of Josh Hammer having a freak out moment.
Yeah. I gotta see if somebody else screenshotted this, because I mean, we can move on, but I'm just curious because it was crazy. But Nick Fuentes also talked about it. It's everywhere. So anyways, kind of crazy.
Oh, there it is. There's the third definition right there. You can see that third definition. Zoom in on that. Here we go. Euphemistic way of saying kill or destroy, especially in a covert or military operation.
So that's what he cropped out.
Yeah.
We had to show it because it's important.
Josh Hammer is another guy I would put in the same category as Bill Ackman. Somebody in the chat was asking about who Bill Ackman is. I mean, he's a hedge fund guy, mm-hmm. super pro-Zionist. And Josh Hammer's a similar kind of person who just do your kingmaking from behind the scenes. You
right.
don't need to be doing this online unless, and this is what some people say, you want people to hate you.
Mm. No, you know, I think a lot of these people, and just to circle back to the very beginning of the show with the Skylar Baird thing, he very well may be completely innocent. I think sometimes people get themselves in the limelight because they think they're going to be well received, and it backfires, right? Like Skylar Baird, if he's not involved in an operative, he thought, I'm going to be the hero that tackled George Zinn. And then people are like, you're fucking weird, you're FBI. And he's like, no, I'm not, you know? And maybe people think with Josh Hammer, you know, he's going to be praised for saying, fuck Nick Fuentes, and not realizing the Groiper movement, is going to take you down, but and pull up your tweets from, you know, 2013.
He
or
pulled them. He pulled up his own tweets there. That wasn't us pulling it up.
Yeah.
But really quick before we I do want to play this hilarious. Yeah. Before we move on to the chat, appreciate you guys for being here. In our new studio, I do want to play this, I think, is a hilarious clip of Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes just burying the hatchet. That is C7.
Okay, let's see this.
Called you gay, by the way. But I'm always, I think I'm just too old or something. I'm like, what? Why is anyone married? You tell me, why aren't people married?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's the women.
I'm sorry I called you gay, by the way.
I don't know. I don't want to denigrate women, but he was basically, Tucker was apologizing for calling him gay. And Nick's was like, no problem, you know.
Yeah. No problem. It's the women.
We should get into that in a different episode completely in terms of talking about, you know, female women.
Would be a good story. That would be,
female, male, you know, roles in society and what really is feminism, what's not feminism, has it been co-opted by corporations, this and that.
Yeah.
Because I did find their conversation. I made a video about that in on Instagram when I was talking about the OnlyFans, right? Because they're bringing up OnlyFans and things like that. I'm like, yeah, that's really, you know, I'm for, obviously, liberty and making your own choices. So I would never advocate for the banning of pornography or anything like that. But I think it should be talked about in an honest way where it's like, hey, these are the effects, the health effects of pornography. It's not just about like women's liberation and things like that. There are downstream side effects that are not good for society that we should be aware of.
100%.
Even though I don't advocate for banning it, it's like we should have open conversation about it versus I think there's a lot of groups out there that are like saying that this is good for society, that we should somehow be consuming pornography at a high rate and this is actually good for a healthy relationship, which I don't agree with.
No, I definitely don't agree with that. And there are so many studies that prove that it is not healthy, it is not good. And, you know, people aren't having sex as much, people aren't getting in healthy relationships, and it's really, really bad. So we definitely should talk about that and just, you know, feminism, and have that whole conversation.
Well, I'm glad I have you because you're a woman, so you should be able to talk about that, right?
Am I?
No,
I am.
Not today. Not today. You are transgender today, I guess. I'm just kidding.
Am I? Exactly.
No, this is, yeah.
Thank you guys for being here. I don't know if we can bring up the chat or if you just want to move your computer so we can read them or if you just want to read them. But
yeah,
if you guys have any questions or comments.
We will figure out how to pull the chat into this. We're producing basically our own show now, which is very exciting, but we're learning all the technology. So I will figure out one thing at a time.
And I think we did good so far. Did we with elements? I don't know.
Let's,
we'll have to watch.
Let's hear from the people in the chat. But let's see if there's any questions that we got here. Somebody said, you need more mustache.
Okay, thank you for the feedback. I think that the lighting has lessened the mustache on camera because up close it's pretty prominent, right?
I mean, I see it. It's not as thick as mine.
Well, okay, so this morning I woke up at 4:30 thinking about the fucking mustache. James, of course, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, did not know I was dressing up as him. And I have this clip-in bang piece that I bought off of Amazon to see like how I would look with bangs because my little sister is so cute. She cut bangs and I was jealous and I wanted to see how I would look. Not my best look. Anyways, I was like, oh my God, I wonder if I could turn this bang into a mustache. So from 4:30 to like 5:30, I was cutting a hair mustache. I had it taped on. And the thing is that I was like, I don't think I could do the show with it, you know, because it was like so big. So anyways, I appreciate the feedback, but, you know, I did the best I could so that I could still talk.
No, I think you look great, if
handsome.
I may say. Yeah, very much so. I am very attracted, to this whole look.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you.
What else is there? Okay, so somebody said Erica is giving off Meghan Markle vibes.
Oh, my God.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think Meghan Markle honeypotted Prince Harry, for sure.
But who is he? I mean, that's not really a honeypot because is she working on behalf of an intelligence agency, or did she just basically trick him into falling in love with her for no political reason?
You're right. I used the wrong word. But Meghan Markle is just like the most disingenuous, you know, person. And I think a lot of people feel that way, are starting to feel that way a little bit with Erica Kirk, with the background and everything, and the way that she kind of presents herself. Like, there's just something a little bit off. Did you like that? I did my Gavin Newsom wiggle.
We got to get into Gavin at some point.
There are a lot of celebrity blinds that say that Meghan Markle was a yacht girl, which basically means like a call girl.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought a yachty was a person who worked on a yacht, which I'm a big fan of the show Bravo, Below Deck, and those are...
Yes, yeah. But like in the blinds, yacht girls are like sex workers.
Oh.
And that's why you have like Bill Gates and all these, you know, rich people that are constantly yachting. And it's basically like a sex thing. And so anyways, Meghan Markle is like, in the Crazy Days and Nights blinds and all the blinds for being one of those. And, you know, it's just so funny. She's like, I had no idea who he was. Everybody knew who he is. His mom, Princess Diana.
That is such a lie, right?
Such a lie.
I don't know who Prince Harry was. That's insane.
And then...
And you would know... Okay, let's say in the first meeting, you didn't know who he was. You would have immediately found out.
You know who he is. Like, it's so ridiculous. And then... You know, she did this Netflix cooking show. Yeah, I know. I grabbed your shirt, your other Tyler Robinson shirt, because I was freezing in here with the air conditioning. But did you see her Netflix cooking show?
No.
She was like, trying to be...
Why would I watch her Netflix cooking show?
Well, I did just like to tell the people what I thought. I couldn't watch it, but she was like trying to be the new Martha Stewart. And she's like, when your guests come over, what you do is you make them goodie bags. She didn't cook anything. She's like, put the pretzels in the bag, tie it up. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You got a show doing this?
Well, I mean, I just remember her. People were saying that when she had her podcast, she wasn't actually even there for the podcast. She like pre-recorded the questions.
I didn't even know she had a podcast.
She had a podcast and people were basically doing online sleuthing of trying to piece together like her angle, the guest angle. And they're like, this looks like she just pre-recorded the questions brought in the guest to interview with the producer and make it look like they were in the same room together, which, you know, we're in the same, you could see. Hello.
That's crazy. But I don't know if I answered the person's question about the connection. Maybe they can elaborate, but I don't really know what I think about Erica, but Meghan Markle, ugh.
Yeah. Well, let's see what else we got. James, stop acting like a bitch every time Erica's name gets brought up. You seem like an intelligent dude, but you and Candace don't want to acknowledge the elephant in the damn room, which is Erica. Fair criticism. You know,
Are they talking about you or are they talking about me?
I think they're talking about me, probably, because I am still somewhat careful of, you know, just trying to respect human decency. She is a widow by definition, right?
100%.
Regardless of whether she's involved with it or not. And I just don't have enough information to go off of, because I like to, you know, I like to base my speculation off of real facts, right? I think that she's sketchy in terms of her Romanian thing. I'm calling her out for that. But I don't quite know for sure whether or not she executed her husband. So I'm not going to be out there. I'm going to let other people say that.
Yes. And to James's credit, he did call her a honeypot. So.
Did I? No, I think I did, huh?
Yeah.
As a joke.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's a.
But honeypot does not mean that she's going to go kill him, right? I think there's a possibility that she was placed in that position to be sort of a handler for Charlie Kirk. Doesn't mean that she wants him to die.
Right. She would probably prefer to be the first lady.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would say so. I mean, if that's her, you know, ultimate goal. But it's a tough situation, and we're put in these situations to speculate because the intelligence communities are not doing their job. That really is the crux of the whole entire issue. Why I have random people popping up in my IG chat, super fucking weird. And it's because we're calling out all of these people because our own intelligence agency is not doing that. They're turning a blind eye. And so now we have to do it. And it puts us in a tough situation because you don't want to like call out a widow and be like, you know, she's this, she's that. But it's like, well, now we have to question everybody because you're not questioning anybody.
Right. So when you're not questioning, you seem like you're a part of the plan, right? That's one of the quotes that I love is, you know, if you're not looking, that means you probably already know the answer.
Yeah.
right?
Which is true.
Yeah. And let's see here. A couple more. Lily Garfield says, have you read Josh Hammer's book? I didn't know. No, I have not read Josh Hammer's book.
No, but now I have to look up what Josh Hammer's book is, just to know, unless you want to tell us in the chat. But that is crazy.
Josh Hammer's, but yeah, I'm not really.
Oh, I'm starting to think I have seen this.
I'm sure he has a number of books. I'm getting the sense that he really likes.
No, I swear to God. Israel and Civilization, the Fate of Jewish Nation and the Destiny of the West. I was right.
Well, apparently,
I have seen this before.
Apparently, the Destiny of Israel relies on Southeast Asian countries that are not China. They said China is, you know, we're not going to go after China, but we're going to go after all the other countries that oppose China in the Southeast region, which includes Taiwan and India and Korea and everything like that.
Okay, so put this up. What is the book about? First of all, it was published this year, March 18th, 2025. Hammer argues that the fate of Western civilization is intimately tied to the flourishing and security of the Jewish people and the state of Israel. So there you go.
Awesome. That sounds like a scintillating read.
Yeah.
James
doesn't like to read.
I like to read sometimes, but
he likes to read Shakespeare.
I like to read my lovely Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly.
My love. No.
And I love to read. I'm a nerd. I love reading. I have not been able to read as much as I've wanted to this year, but I love romanticy, which is like the
is
fantasy
that smut?
Books.
Is that smut, basically?
What?
Is that just smut?
What's smut?
Smut is like romance novels.
No, I mean, if you add in like vampires, werewolves, and dragons. Maybe. I don't know. You know, it's or murder mysteries.
Yeah.
But nothing too scary because, you know, I don't want to be like not able to go to bed or like have nightmares. Any other questions?
I'm sure there are some I missed, but the last thing here, just to leave it on a very positive note, thank you. My Asian peers in Cali are lefties, but me says, great show, Danny and James, not left or right. It's us versus them. Love you guys. Happy Thursday, American flag, eagle.
I love it. And you are always in the chat, in the comments. I see it. And thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it. Next week, we are both going to be out of town, but we have an amazing interview that's dropping next week with Matt Kim. And it was this crazy thing because we filmed this on October 7th between 9 and 11. And you told me this and I go, God, that couldn't we pick a different time and a different day? And you're like, it's fine. And then we had a bunch of, we went to a different studio. We had all these issues, these technical issues, but it's going to be a great episode. And we love Matt Kim. He's the best.
Matt Kim is great. He's one of those people, you know, I try to look for people who I interact with. I want them to be honest. I don't necessarily need to agree with all of their positions and all of their beliefs and ideologies. But the one uncompromising thing that I love about Matt Kim is that he always tells the truth. He's always honest. He's not afraid to be unapologetic about that. And he can't be bought out, right? He's talked about it many times. He's saying people offering money, even on positions he agrees with. He's saying, no, I don't want to take that money. It's not what I do, which is very hard in today's influencer world where people are getting paid to do whatever it is. It's not just support Israel, whatever thing, you get paid to do it. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot, I think, of character to turn down something that you actually also agree with.
Yeah. No. And, you know, I didn't know if, you know, he was going to like me or, you know, if we were going to click because he's friends with you. And you also told me when we first started, he gave you a little feedback like, you need to speak up more. Danny's cutting you off. So I was like, I don't know if he's going to like me. But we totally hit it off. We clicked. We all went to lunch afterwards. Then him and I went and got matcha. He's just the nicest person. Such a good person. And so it was just so refreshing because we've interviewed a couple people now. And for me, Matt Kim was my favorite. So I don't know.
Well, Matt's great. And so are you guys. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to build out the studio to be even better. This is like the most bare bones as we can have it right now. and we're going to add to it. I think we're going to do some exciting things for Patreon members, some behind the scenes stuff. We're thinking about putting like a marquee here in the back behind me, where if you're a Patreon subscriber supporting the show, because this is built off of listener support. This is not built off of investors or anything like that. It's built off of listeners. So we're going to have hopefully like a scroll, you know, like the thing where stock tickers go, but it's going to be not stock tickers, but like people.
All of your names that are Patreon members. And our founding father, Kevin Howard, when we're back live on November 13th, is going to be coming on for a question. So if you are a founding father member, if you're at that level, you will get your opportunity to come on video and ask your questions. We thank you guys so much for being here. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm James Lee.
And I'm Danny Love. And if you want to hear, no, I'm Tyler Robinson, but if I am Danny Love, you want to hear, you want, if you, we want to hear from you.
Down below. Pretty close.
I don't know exactly what your tagline is, but no, you say here. I'm cutting over to you.
Let me know what you think about all of this down below.
Okay, that's what it is. Let me know what you think about all of this down below.
Thank you so much, guys. Bye. All right. We now have to end it.